D-Mace, Vinkin, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vinkin here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and sponsored by Old National Bank, Sportsnet, NHL Insider, Elliot Freeman. Elliot, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing, Adam?
We are doing excellent. Thank you for asking. So, we finally saw the long-awaited JT Miller trade last week. There was a first-round pick involved in that deal, which then they ultimately traded to Pittsburgh. But a first-round pick was involved in that deal. Mikael Granlund was traded from San Jose to Dallas. There was a first-round pick involved in that deal. Has the market now been set for centers with a first-round pick?
It depends on if we're talking about term or anything like that here. I think it depends on the I think it just depends like on the overall situation. I think like if it's a rental, teams are going to try to get a first round pick. If it's term, I think, you know, they might try to get more than that. I think it depends on the particular situation, but one of the things that's pretty clear this year is that everybody's asking for a first rounder. Some teams are getting them. I also would tell you that this year's draft, Adam, is not seen as a great one. Next year's draft is seen as much better and deeper than this one. And as a result, I think if teams picking very high need to do that to get some business done they want to get, they're probably a little more willing to do it this year.
I want to ask you about a former Nashville Predators player who's in the news, Ryan Hartman. Ryan Hartman was suspended 10 games by the NHL for roughing Tim Stützle. Now, I am a professional wrestling fan. Elliot, I know that you enjoy professional wrestling, or once did.
I do.
Yes. It was the move that Ryan Hartman executed on Tim Stützle would have been perfectly legal, I would say, or maybe not, in a WWE ring, driving his head into the ice. He's been suspended for 10 games. He's appealing the suspension. But you had something in your latest 32 Thoughts column that came out today that stood out to me. You wrote, one thing you heard about this situation with Hartman: on-ice officials warned Hartman several times during the Ottawa game that he was in danger of losing control. When I hear that, I mean, are there concerns that, to borrow it, you know, to borrow the nickname of the late Brian Pillman, to continue our wrestling conversation, is there a concern that Ryan Hartman is becoming a bit of a loose cannon?
What I would say is this, Adam, it's that, he's got to play a certain way to be successful, but you can't cross the lines, right? I mean, you saw him up close, you know what he's like. A referee's job is supposed to maintain control of the game. And, you know, that was a Sportsnet broadcast because the game was in Ottawa. It was Minnesota at Ottawa. So our guys were there and they saw it all. They said there were numerous occasions where one of the referees, it was Garrett Rank, was talking to Hartman on the bench during whistles. And if you watch the play, you know, you can tell that Rank is looking right at it. Like, he's looking at Hartman in that situation and he's thinking, this guy might be on tilt and I'm going to keep an eye out for it. And I think that's what happened there. And like, there's always a line you can't cross. And Hartman crossed it. And, you know, he has to play a certain way. That's the role he's known for. But it doesn't excuse going past a place that you can't go to. And he did there. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, Adam, I know that George Parros, who is now running Department of Player Safety, he has talked before about non-hockey plays. Like, there's some places where guys get hurt or guys get suspended and it's kind of hockey-ish and it goes bad. That's not a hockey play. Like, you're not doing that in a game for any normal reason. So I think between him losing his cool and also him making a play that really isn't a quote-unquote hockey play, that's why he got hammered. Now, I think Hartman's trying a couple of things here. Number one, I don't expect the first appeal, when it's over six games or six games or more, the first appeal goes to the commissioner. I expect the commissioner to back George Parros, and I don't think this is going to change. But if that's the case, he gets to go to an independent arbitrator, and we have seen a couple of situations in recent years where suspensions got dropped. One 20-gamer went down to a 15. Another 20-gamer went down to a 14. And what's unique about this is that because of the Four Nations break, the tournament that's being played in the next couple of weeks, normally you would never see a case where this would get sorted out for Hartman in time. But now his 10th game wouldn't be until March 9th. So I think he's taking a shot at it for that reason.
You mentioned as well in your latest 32 Thoughts column, now that the salary cap is expected to skyrocket, it could have a massive effect on contract negotiations, specifically when it comes to superstar players. What are you expecting in that realm now that the salary cap is shooting up exponentially?
Boy, I think, Adam, we're going to find that all out together. It's not only that the salary cap is going up to a really high number, the highest numbers we've ever seen, but the individual salaries are now going up to a high number. Like, the highest paid player on average now is at $14 million. We've never seen that before, not on an average annual value basis. Like, you'll remember, there was a time Shea Weber was making, $14 million a year, but that was not every year of his contract. His contract was front-loaded. So this is very new for everybody. And, I think the players are really excited, as they should be. A lot of them are going to get paid. But I think there are teams who are like, you know what? I don't know that I want to go there, particularly if we're not winning. Like the Canadian teams, so next year the salary cap is 95.5. That's in U.S. dollars. Right now, our dollar is like in a disaster zone. So that's $140 million Canadian in today's dollars. And the Canadian teams, they pay in U.S. dollars. All players get paid in that. But their revenues come in Canadian dollars. So even though a lot of them are in really strong places, like, that's a big difference, Adam. So I think some of them are pretty nervous. I also think that there are teams, and I would be very curious to know what a team like the Predators would say about it. You squeeze everything you can out of your building and your fan base, and you do reach a point sometimes where you worry, hey, like, can we squeeze any more out of this? Now, there's league-wide revenues, which are good, strong. They're stronger than they've ever been, so that helps. There's a new Canadian TV deal coming sometime over the next year, so that should help. I think there's going to be another round of expansion sometime over the next few years, so that should help. But the bottom line is, Adam, we're going into uncharted territory here. Like, the cap has never been this high. The individual salaries have never been this high. I never have a problem with anybody negotiating their best deal. And it kind of happened in the middle of, and they've also never had this much time to plan. Like, they've never been given this much advance in terms of a cap. So the world is a really different place. And, the guys who I think are in the toughest spot are the people like Barry Trotz, because he just got handed this and he's got a month until the trade deadline to kind of figure things out. So, like, I just think that over the next 2 weeks, when the schedule slows down for this international tournament, some of these GMs are going to be like, okay, we really got to sit down. We got to plan it.
I preface this question by telling you that I am no accountant. I don't do my own taxes. Well, I have, one of those apps that helps me do my own taxes.
Yeah, I understand. You're not. Yeah, that's pretty normal.
Do you think the advantage that the Predators and other teams have in terms of no state income tax, does the rising salary cap limit the advantage you think that those teams have now that teams will have more money to spend?
No, I don't. I think that's always going to be an advantage. One of the things I really think about Nashville is that, it's so funny when I think about it, Adam, like 25 years ago when, all of us stuck up snobby hockey loving Canadians, like, when you guys came in, we're like, Nashville, what the heck is that? And now, we all realize what a great place it is. And it's not only that you're a no tax state. It's also, Adam, that it's a great place to live. You know, that's the one thing, like, you hear, if you're a single guy, you like Nashville. If you have a family, you like Nashville. And I understand a lot of former players are kind of moving into the area too, because it's a great place to live post-career. So, you know, it's funny you mention that, because there are some teams, and some Canadian teams too, that really want to see if there can be some kind of tax equalization plan in the new CBA that's about to be negotiated. And I don't know that that's going to be the case. Like, one of the things that Bettman has said is that he'll only do it if there's a lot of owners that want it. Well, immediately you're going to have some owners, probably like your own, who are going to say, nope, we like this advantage. Why would we want to legislate it out of the game? And number two, you know, I just don't know if there's enough teams that really want to create something or can create something that matters. So I don't think that will change. And I look at Nashville's overall picture as not only a no tax state, but a really good place to live and play. I think unless something really changes in your area, your location, I don't see that changing.
Yeah, I'm with you, Elliot. I don't think no team that has that advantage would then say, regardless of whether the salary cap is going up or not, would say, you know what, I want to take that advantage away. I want to let it be a level playing ground. No, if that's an advantage have when it comes to taxes, they're going to keep it. And if they can get more, they're gonna get it. But looking at where this team is at, Elliot, Nashville, back in November, Barry said, hey, listen, if we can't get this thing straight, I may be looking to be in rebuild mode. Well, you fast forward 2 or 3 months now, they're on a 5-game losing streak. It seems like they're 16 points out. They're not making the playoffs. Do you think he goes into rebuild mode now? And when we're talking rebuild and possible trades right before the trade deadline, what do you think about guys like O'Reilly or Nyquist or Sissons, guys that can potentially be moved as well?
Well, so first of all, like, I thought it was interesting. I saw Kemmel was called up today, and I'm curious to see if – I guess your next game is tomorrow against the Blackhawks, so I'm curious to see if we're going to see him tomorrow night. I thought that was really interesting that Hinostroza got waived and Kemmel was the guy to come up. Like, to me, that's Barry giving someone a look. I don't think you guys are doing a full rebuild. I just don't see it. I think, Derek, that Barry will look to see what he can do, maybe like what holes he can fill, you know, what spots he needs done. But I don't see a full teardown. You know, the O'Reilly thing to me, like when Barry Trotz goes public, as he did on your station, and says Ryan O'Reilly is being treated like he's got a no move clause, even though he doesn't, and he's not going anywhere unless A, somebody really blows us out of the water, or B, he wants to. You know, I've heard O'Reilly really likes it there, and his family really likes it there. So you would have, so assuming that what Barry said it holds, you would have to show me a situation where the trade was good enough and O'Reilly was willing to go elsewhere. I'm taking Barry Trotz and Ryan O'Reilly at their words. You know, Nyquist, yes, I completely believe that. You know, I'll tell you the thing, too, is that assuming he doesn't get traded beforehand, Nyquist is about to play in this Four Nations tournament. Those are going to be big games. He hasn't had a great year, but if he gives like a nice little snippet at these three games upcoming, someone's going to be interested in Nyquist. And Sissons, I think McCarron, too. I've heard he's on some teams' radar. Sissons is a good player, and teams like guys like Sissons, and especially during the playoffs. He's signed to a contract that everybody can handle. He's versatile. He can play in different spots in your lineup. Teams like that. And he's a playoff kind of player. I absolutely believe that there would be interest in Sissons.
Now, the question around here, too, and we talked about it a bit yesterday, was Bruno's system? Does it fit the guys that he brought in? Yes, I thought. Yes, yeah. Everyone thought it would, but it seems like they've been having trouble with everybody sort of finding their sort of space within what he's doing.
Yes.
But Barry, he was on with Jared the other day, and Barry did say, "Hey, listen, I'm not looking to move off from Bruno this season. He's my coach." Mm-hmm. So, what do you think it would take for that to possibly happen? I know he said he's not going to do it during the season, and I'm not asking about during the season. I'm talking about after the season. What do you think would happen in order for him to not be the coach next year?
I would say this. I think that I think number one, for there to be a change, there's got to be such an obvious candidate that Barry can't say no to. Like, you're not, like, you're not, after everything that Barry's done this year, he stood up for Burnett, he's backed Burnett, he says, I'm not making the change. And, like, you're not doing it just, you're not doing it just because. You're doing it, if he does it, he's doing it for one of two reasons. Derek, number one is, there's someone who he can get, who he says, we have to have this person. That's number one. And number two, the only other reason would be if Barry is convinced that after watching this year, it can't be fixed under the current setup. Those are the only two reasons you do it. He's stuck with him long enough right now that there's no, unless there's something else there, I'm completely not seeing, Derek. And you played, mm-hmm. You would understand this dynamic as much as anyone else. If you're sticking with someone through thick and thin, like Trotz has this year, I can only see those two reasons as to why you do it after the season. Number one, there's a great candidate and you know they're yours. Mm-hmm. Or number two, you look at it and you say, I gave it a year. It can't be fixed. That's it. That's all I see.
Elliot Freeman, presented by Old National Bank, joining us as he does every Thursday on D-Mays, Vingan, and Donick. Elliot, I don't consider myself like the most patriotic person, but when there's international competition, go USA. So
yes,
I'm interested. Yes, I'm interested in this Four Nations tournament. Can't wait for Canada versus USA. I hope you and your brothers lose pretty badly to America. That's all I want to say. Otherwise, we love you.
Well, we'll speak next week before the game. I'll say this, like, I'm so excited for it. You have no idea. So that game, it's Canada and the USA. They're playing next Saturday night in Montreal. It's going to be bananas. First of all, that's one of the best places in the world to watch hockey. I would tell everyone in Nashville, if you ever want to take a road trip to go see the Predators, go to Montreal. It's a great city, and it's a great place to watch hockey. The fans are going to be riled up. And secondly, just like, I'm not an anthem booer. I don't believe in it. It's not for me. That night, so this year is the 60th anniversary of the red and white maple leaf, the Canadian flag. And our flag day is next Saturday. And I've been told they are supposed to distribute 20,000 Canadian flags to the fans. That building is going to be nuts. Like, I had a manager tell me this morning, some of us who've got players in that game and we're playoff teams, we are terrified of that game because those two teams are going to go at each other hard. It's going to be awesome. And Adam, as you said, may the best team win.
Elliot, we'll talk next week.
All right, take care, guys.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, joining us on the program. I second him, by the way. If you are a Predators fan who wants to see the team on the road and you can afford it, you should absolutely see a game in Montreal. It's an incredible experience. The city is beautiful, so I second Elliot there. 615-737-1025. The Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025 will be revealed tonight. And I want to get Derek Mason's predictions, including some of his old teammates could be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame tonight. We'll get to that next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.